It is beginning to look like Christmas, to feel like Christmas, smell like Christmas. But I'm not going to preach a Christmas message yet, because we have a little work to do to finish the book of Philippians. And today, it is our joy to look at one of the most familiar verses in all the Bible, and dare I say, one of the most misapplied verses in all the Bible. I'd like us to think about what our mission is as people who love Christ and love the Word of God, and we believe that the Bible's true, right? Now, it's not just true for you in the way you look at it and the way you interpret it. It's true in the way God communicated it and He expressed it to us. And part of our endeavor is to rightly divide it and to understand this is what God said and this is what He meant and these are what the words mean and are connected. And so when you come to this secret that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4 and says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, everyone who loves Christ says, amen. We believe that with all of our heart. And yet this is the verse that's used by many people who travel around the world and put this on things, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and begins to have an application that is personal to them, in which they sort of use it as a rabbit's foot or a good luck charm or some way to invoke divine blessing on whatever it is they're going to embark upon. My favorite is a man I respect. In fact, in keeping with this verse, I intend to follow his footsteps, and in 2012, I hope to be the heavyweight champion of the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Evander Holyfield wore that on his robe when he went into the ring. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in the name of Jesus, he put a lot of people on the ground. And he just flattened them out and you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't know. Maybe I won't do that. I may do Dancing with the Stars instead or something. Okay, if you take this verse and say, well, this is what I'm going to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you're going to take it out of context and apply it to yourself in some way that you think this is my permission to do whatever it is I want to do in the name of Christ, you're going to be disappointed. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we always say we have to understand what is the context in which he would say such a thing and what are the limitations or what are the permissions of a statement like that, that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what we need to understand this morning. And rightly understood, then it gives us a great sense of confidence to know there's something to be learned here that will apply to your life in 2012 as you wander through the Christmas season and see all it is that you're going to see over the next, how many days till Christmas? And you're going to be assaulted by all kinds of things. And in fact, this phrase, I can do all things through Christ, comes in the setting of understanding economics, prosperity, being in want, having much, having little. Someone told me this week that a famous Christian writer said that you can be a faithful Christian in any profession except advertising and marketing. Marketing and advertising that we're being assaulted with right now for the next 10 days is going to tell us that what we have is not good enough. And what you don't have is what you really need. And that's why you need to buy. Now, we're right in the season where when then we read this verse from Paul, I can do all things through Christ, we need to back up to verse 10, and probably we could back up all the way to verse 4 where he began, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say what? Rejoice in the Lord. And we talked about that. We'll come back to that theme this morning. But last week we read verse 8. Let me begin reading there and I'll read through verse 14. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You don't have Paul's emphasis, but this is the way I've been reading it this week. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Remember verse 4? You rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. You rejoice. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and of suffering need. Let's read verse 13 together. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here among us this morning doing a work that only God can do, taking the words of your scripture and placing them deeply within our mind and soul and heart, that we might be shaped by truth from God for life. We need this truth because we live in a challenging time of competing values and dizzying temptations. We need the truth of God to be a compass for us in how to understand our circumstances when we are in triumph and surplus and times of great blessing. And we need it to be a compass for us in the times of poverty, leanness, and want. Christ, these are your words. You are the sufficient Savior. I pray that you'll speak to us this morning in words that come from God to hungry hearts, that we would be filled in our soul with a glimpse of a God who loves us and cares for us and can do so in the midst of meagerness and much. Wherever we find ourselves today, Lord, we pray we'll be found by you and spoken to by you. Our hearts are open, our minds are ready to understand, and we pray that the work of your Spirit will come to us and do more than any human being could do to help us hear you, love you, follow you. In the name of Christ, we all pray together. Amen. It is interesting in this text that Paul said in verse 9, which we looked at last week, the things that you've heard in me, you practice. You practice them. You've heard me say them. You've heard me. You've watched me live them out. You've watched me live out things like, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will keep you. You practice that. and you think about these things. Don't think about the things that will lead you away from all that I've taught you. Think about the things I've taught you and practice them. And then he says, by the way, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. That's his practicing, what he preaches. What he preached in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I rejoice. And Paul's simply putting into practice and demonstrating his rejoicing in the Lord. Why? Well, now at last you revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Paul is referencing in verse 10, 11, also in verse 17 and 18, that the Philippians had given to him a financial gift. They sent him an offering. They collected an offering and they sent it to Paul through Epaphroditus, who had come to Paul in prison and given him financial support. Remember, when Paul is writing this, he's hearing the clinking of chains on his wrists in prison, writing, I rejoice in the Lord greatly in prison. Why? Well, you've revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, and you sent a gift. And he's grateful for the gift, but does he say, I rejoice in the gift you sent? You should watch carefully. This is where we read and say, well, what is he saying? He's not saying, I rejoice in the financial support that you sent from Philippi to Rome, so now I can eat better. No. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that you have revived your concern for me, because Paul sees his provision from the Philippians in a financial supportive way as ultimately being God meeting his needs. You see that? It may have come through the Philippians. It may have come from the Colossians. It may have come from somebody else. But Paul's rejoicing was, Lord, you provided. This time, it was from the Philippians who have revived their concern for me, and they gave a gift, and you've met my needs. My rejoicing is in the Lord. Now, before we go further, this is just a point of application for every one of us in this room. You may think that you're, you know, unless you see God as the ultimate provider for all that you have and all that you need, you'll miss verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's seeing God as being the one in whom we rejoice, who provides everything. Now, verse 11, which we'll put on the screen here, is a key verse. Now, not that I speak from want, I have, what's the next word? I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. We're in a mark it up series, which means we take our pencil or pen or whatever, we mark it up. I would circle the word learned, because few of us have, as our original disposition, I'm happy with the way things are just like this. I'm content with the way things are. And it's something to be learned. And you may be here today and say, I don't have a spirit of contentment. I wish I had more. I wish I had more money. You maybe need to learn what Paul learned. I received your gift, but I'm not speaking in regard to want. I don't need anything if I have Christ. I have learned to be content. Now, this looks like a little phrase out of the Stoics of the day, to be content in all circumstances. Contentment was the goal of a Stoic mind, to live above need and above abundance in such a way to be truly self-reliant. That's a Stoic perspective. Paul sounds a little like that until we pick it apart a bit, go inside it. I learn to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Well, what kind of circumstances have you been in? Verse 12, I know how to get along in humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, here it is again, I have learned the secret of being filled, having a lot, and going hungry, of having abundance, and suffering need. And he makes these comparisons throughout of having a lot or having a little, but I have learned how to be content whether or not I have much or I have little. Have you? Have we? What do we need to learn to have this secret of contentment? Well, I'll say to you, Paul is not relying on a stoic approach to contentment, of self-reliance. I have learned it. But that's the point of verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in other words, it's not self-reliance, but what is it? It's Christ-reliance. It's depending upon Him and knowing that I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having a lot or having a little, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, okay, this is really good American theology, to learn how to be content with little in the United States of America. This could get very convicting really fast, couldn't it, for us? I know the secret. I can live with much or little. Could you say that? Could you say I could live with my current accommodations or something much less? Could you? It is a secret not known to most Christians in America. I've learned the secret, Paul said. Well, where does it come from? This idea of contentment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How does God strengthen us to be content with much or with little? Well, let's talk about the two scenarios. In Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist began to talk to people and to tell them to get ready for the coming of Christ. And he said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And people began to come to John the Baptist, and they would come to John, and they would say, what shall I do to bring forth a life that reflects a repentance and a getting ready? And in one place, he saw a group of soldiers who came to him, and they said, what shall we do to bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance? And this is what he told them. Don't take money from anybody by force. Don't accuse anyone falsely. And be content with your wages. What's he saying? A repentant life that has turned to God and is under His authority and sees God is in control of my life says, I'm content with what I have. Is that radical? That is so radically unbusinesslike in this country to be happy with what you have. Why? What are you told? Up we go. Why? A radical repentance to God says, I'll take more, but I see you as the source of all my provision. I can live with less. Why? Because I see you as the source of the provision for all that I need in my life. Paul told Timothy, contentment is actually a great gain. Godliness is a great gain when accompanied by contentment. This is why he said, we have brought nothing into the world. You know the rest? We've brought nothing into the world. Remember you came in naked? And what does the rest of the verse say? You're taking nothing out with you. You came with empty hands, and the baby begins to clutch, and all through life we clutch, and then when you breathe your last, your hands go like this, and you go to eternity. You brought nothing in, you bring nothing out, and therefore, if we have food and covering, with this we'll be content. Any amens? In the United States of America, if we had food and covering, would we be content? We don't live in a reality with a view of the rest of the world. That's really why it's so nice to be able to travel around the world and go to places like Brazil, go to places like Sudan, Kenya, and other places where you see people with absolutely nothing, and you come back and say how rich and blessed we are, right? Man, with food and covering, we'll be content. That's a fairly convicting thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, let me begin. There's two categories we need to talk about. If Paul says, I've learned the secret of having much and being content, let's talk about that first, because most of us really are in that category. Would you agree? Most of us have more than we need. Most of us are blessed beyond measure in comparison, if not to many others, even in our own country, but others around the world. We have much, right? So how do you learn the secret of saying, okay, that's enough? With what I have now, I'm content. And I don't have to have more. And I can understand that what I do have now, I don't have to have another level, because I can live with all of this blessing in a sense of contentment and satisfaction, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I know what you're beginning to say. Say, well, if I had that person's, then I would be able to do all things, like live what they have, you know, through the power of Christ that strengthens me. Now, let's think about what you have. How do you do that? All I can tell you is that there are warnings in the Bible and there are admonitions in the Bible of what we ought to do with what we have, and to be very careful that when we have a lot, we should not presume on our own sense of pride that the lot we have is by our doing and for only our consumption. Want to see a couple places? It'll just help us know how to be rich in a God-honoring way, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I think that's what Paul's saying. I have learned the secret of having a lot. And I can live with a lot in a God-honoring way because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So looking at people who have a lot, I want to help us say, how do we live with the much we have in a way that glorifies God, so that we say, I live with my wealth in a way that honors God because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, let's turn back in our Old Testament to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And let's just take a quick look. Entering the land through the wilderness wanderings. Deuteronomy chapter 8. As they're about to cross over Jordan, this is what God says to his people, who at this point, do they have much or little? Been wandering for 40 years, much or little? Probably little. By comparison of where they're headed, they have little. Now verse 11, here's a warning. Beware that you do not forget the Lord, your God, by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Don't forget. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground. There was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock, a flint. In the wilderness, he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do good for you in the end. That those lean years was God working in you what would be good for you in the end. What's that a view of? That's a view that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I rejoice in the Lord greatly. That I see the sovereign hand of God in my life when I have much and when I have little. And I don't forget his blessings. Forget none of his benefits. I remember the Lord. Right? That's how we do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We could go on in that text, but let's not. Let's quote Psalm 23, verse 1 together. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? I shall not want. Ah, I'm content. I have what I need. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I have a lot, through the strength of God, I will not forget him. I will not become proud. I will stay humble. I will be careful. If there was another thing we would say to those of us who have a lot, it would be to go to the New Testament book of Timothy and say, hey, I urge those of you who are rich to be rich in good works and to be generous to those who have needs. To let your resources flow freely through your hands and be generous in good deeds and lay up for yourself not only treasure on earth, but treasure in heaven. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. Because if you love riches, you know what's going to happen. It's going to become the root of all kinds of evil that's going to ruin your life. It's going to be good for you in the end that God lets you have some testing and then blesses you and you understand that all that you have comes from him. I can do all things through Christ. You see how this, if you think of this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is for those of us in the room who have been given much. We pull that over our banner of all that we have. I can live with my much through Christ who strengthens me. And rejoice in the Lord and honor the Lord and give him blessing and praise and live my life for him and not for my stuff, right? That's what Paul is saying. Now, so he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. You revived your love for me, Philippians. You sent me a gift. I've received your gift. It's not like I needed the gift. Well, he did need it. But what was he saying? My God would supply all my needs according to my riches and his riches in Christ Jesus. He would supply it, but it came through you. And more next week about what that meant for the Philippians. But I see him as being the source of all these blessings. Where else could we go? I guess we need to answer the question, how then does God strengthen me in my much or my meagerness? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let's read that out loud together. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, okay, here it is from the writer of Hebrews. Same thing. I know how to have much. I know how to have little. Why? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is the promise here? I can do everything through Christ who is with me, who said, I will never, ever, ever, no, not ever, leave you. Imagine Jesus saying in such emphatic way, it's actually written with negatives, double negatives, to be absolutely emphatic so that the sense of it could be, you should know that I will absolutely never, ever, ever leave you. Why? So don't love money. Let your character be free from the love of money and be content with what you have because you have Jesus. You know what rings in my ears now? What would it profit a man if you had the whole world but you lost your soul? What good would that be? Really, it would not be good in the long run, in the end. Remember that phrase from Deuteronomy? In the end. God did this to you for what was in the end. Okay, in the end, if you gained the whole world and got a lot but lost your soul, that would not be good. Okay, we sing a song sometimes. Better is one day in your courts. Can I sing that for you? Let me read it for you instead. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. Wait a minute, just think about that. A day in the courts of heaven. One day is better than 1,000 days outside of the courts. I'd rather stand at the threshold of the house of God. I'm not even in yet, but I'm right there. I'd rather be there than out with wicked men living in rebellion against God. Why? That's what I want. I want God. I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, strength. That's what I want. And there, I'll be content. Psalm 16, the Lord is my portion forever. I have no good but you. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. That's David. Oh, Psalm 16 is a study. We haven't time this morning, but if you look at Psalm 16, it's David saying all the blessings of God that came to him. Why? Because the Lord was his portion. The Lord filled his cup. He had the Lord, and therefore, whether he was on the run from his own son who wanted to kill him, or whether he was in a palace in splendor, King David said, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I know how to have much and I know how to have little. And the reason I can live in this way is because the Lord is my portion. The Lord fills my cup. The Lord is my shepherd. I rejoice in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you see the theme flowing through the Bible, that when Christ is first, when we understand I will never leave you or forsake you, and he is our God, then clearly we are set. Now, it's a challenge to be content in the world in which we live, but Paul said, this is the point, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you note the connection then between this and be anxious for nothing? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You can do all things through Christ. Let your requests be made known. Don't be anxious. The Lord is with you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, a word to those who have little, who are in need. I can do all things through Christ is over that situation as well, over that economic condition. I don't have enough, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I rejoice in the Lord. Is that true for you too? Yeah. Well, then we come back and we hear these very same verses that we've looked at. The Lord is with us. The Lord will provide. In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and stumble badly, those who wait on the Lord will regain new strength, mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because the Lord is with us. Paul himself, he knew times in his life where he was weak and broken and crushed. His side was, he had a thorn in his side, whatever that might have been. It was given to him by the Lord, and he wished it was not there. It's not something that he wanted, but he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In fact, in this thorn in my flesh, from 2 Corinthians 12, the Lord said to me when I asked him to take it away, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is actually perfected in weakness. My presence in your life will be more manifest because you are in this diminished capacity. So think about that for a minute. Diminished capacity financially, diminished capacity physically, diminished capacity whatever. Can God meet us there? That is exactly the place where we would say, I can live in this place if Christ is my Savior, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't know what situation you're in, whether economically, physically, health-wise, but this is what I know. There is a secret to be learned in submitting to the sovereignty of God and saying that, My life is for God and His glory, and Christ is my Savior. And whatever happens, I rejoice in the Lord. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm learning that secret. It's not an easy secret to learn. It's an easy secret to forget. When you pass from meagerness to prosperity. But it is a secret we have to hold on to. The strength we rest in is not ourselves, but outside of us. It's Christ. And by resting in Christ, I pray that we'll be able to say with Paul, by His grace, we do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that You are good to be with us in every experience of life and to never leave us or forsake us. We hear Paul saying these words, which he actually lived out through meager days and through days of prosperity and blessing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I pray that the voice we hear today will be Your voice telling us how to live in our present circumstances in a sense of rejoicing in the Lord, in a joy of being content with what we have, in a sense of being led by the Lord with what to do with all that we have, being Christ exalting in all these things. I thank You for the Philippian church that responded to Paul's need, their prompting to give of their out of their poverty for the needs that Paul had to advance the gospel. I thank You for Paul's model in receiving it with thanks and giving glory to Christ. May that shape our own thoughts about all that we have and what we do with what we have for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.